Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our match preview for Aston Villa v Chelsea. We've got a special guest on today, England legend Chris Wokes, coming from India where he's playing in the IPL. How you doing, mate? And we've got Justin, by the way. Justin is on as well.
Yeah, I'm not in India and I'm not playing in the IPL.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, good to be back on with the lads.
Yeah,
it's been a while, hasn't it? But good to be back.
Yeah, second appearance on the pod, so absolutely loving it. And we had big news yesterday. Unai Emery signing that contract extension. You must be buzzing, Chris.
Yeah, it was good news, wasn't it? I think it's good news for everyone, especially with obviously a few murmurs from the media trying to push him down a different direction. It's always good, to suppose, to just get that clarity, I suppose, from the club. And I think every Villa fan kind of breathed that breath of relief, I suppose. Even though I don't think many would have believed that he'd have left anyway. It's always just nice to get that bit of clarity, isn't it, come from within the club. So, no, great news. Really good news.
Yeah, it's massive. Justin, he's a legend, isn't he? He's a legend. I mean, I'm going to put some little stats on the screen now, but what are your thoughts on Emery?
Well, you know, I'll go back quite a way, and he's probably... He's going to be probably the best manager I've ever seen at Villa, isn't he? And I was never in any doubt that he was staying at Villa, because we understand what the club have done, A, to bring him in, and B, to make him feel welcome. And everything has been built around him. So I was never in any doubt that all this media sort of bias pushing him to every single club that was that had a managerial vacancy just was a non-starter for me. So yeah, I think it's good timing as well. I think the announcement of, I think it was probably an extra year that was probably in the club's favour, and they've taken up the option, but they're at pains to say that they're also going to negotiate a new deal. So I'd imagine he's on the same money that he was before, but they're going to reward him for what he's done at the Villa. And you know he's the most important person at the club, isn't he? So you nail him down for a good few years, and we're on to a winner, isn't it? And he loves Villa. He's at home here, isn't he? It feels like a right fit. So yeah, the longer he stays, the better. 10-year dynasty of Unai Emery, that'll do me.
I can't remember when we last spoke, Chris, but what have you made of Villa, like, recently? Because I keep thinking when I do fan cams and I watch Villa, like, I can't believe that this is my team that I'm watching. But, you know, what have you made of Villa sort of since the last time we spoke?
Yeah, it's been amazing, mate, hasn't it, really? I think the last time we spoke, we were kind of, I don't know if we were top of the league or we were second, but it was kind of that period where we were all kind of getting maybe slightly ahead of ourselves, thinking we could actually win the Premier League. But
I was.
I think even since then, I think it's still been better than we could have ever imagined, especially with the European competition going alongside the Premier League stuff as well. To be sat where we are with, what, is it 6 games left? Or 7, whatever it is just remarkable. And I think it's not just the fact that we've won games, we've won away from home, we've won in Europe. It's not just that. It's the way we're doing it, isn't it? It's the way Emery's got the team playing. It's the connection that he's developed with the fans. He's got the players playing from, you know, what when he came in compared to what we've got now. And I know he's added a few here and there, but the ability that he's been able to get out of the players is just remarkable. And coming from, you know, a professional sportsman who's kind of, I've not been in a Premier League dressing room, but obviously I've been in, you know, professional sport dressing rooms for the last 15 to 20 years. And to see the way the players want to play for the club and play for the manager, that's the thing that I think gets the connection with the fans. And, you know, if we do have an off day, which doesn't and hasn't happened very often, you can still kind of, you know, bear with them. Whereas, you know, the performances that they're playing, that the players are putting in, week out, is remarkable. It really is.
Yeah, just touching on you being in a dressing room then. So what is it like when you're in a dressing room and things are going really, really well? Like how do you feel about going into like that next match? Is it excitement, or what's the feeling like? What would they be feeling?
I feel what he's got going at the minute is, and he's very much like that with the press, isn't he, when he speaks after the game. He's just, right, what's the next game? What are we going to do to beat whoever it is at the weekend? You know, if we win on the Sunday, it's like, right, okay, who do we play on Thursday? Who are we playing Thursday night? And I think he's got that mentality within the players as well. It's like, right, okay, we'll park that. We've done well, but how do we get better? And he's just constantly trying to drive an improvement. And to be able to create that mindset within a group of players to get them all, you know, building and moving in the same direction isn't an easy thing to do. It really isn't, because you've got, you know, a lot of, and more so in football, I reckon you've got more egos to deal with, players that are on different wages. And we're talking, you know, serious amounts of cash, aren't we, in football?
Yeah.
And to get people pulling in the same direction, it's hard to do. So I think that's the most special thing that he's been able to do at the club. It's incredible.
Would you say it's on a parallel to like when Stokes and McCullum came in England? Because it feels like he's managed to garner that morale and that team spirit and that family environment, and almost put aside football for a bit and say, right, let's just be together as one and let's go for it as a group. And this is why I think it's helped massively with all the injuries we've had. There's a no-excuse mentality. He doesn't make any excuses. Whoever's available, then players will run through a brick wall for him. So would you say that's quite a similar sort of comparison?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very similar, I suppose, in a way. I mean, I, obviously, as I said, I'm not in that dressing room, so I don't really know what's going on. But I can talk from what Ben and Baz did coming into our dressing room, and it was kind of just clearing that sort of fear of failure and kind of being backed and having the clarity of how we want
fear
to play.
Fear of failure, that's it. That's the word.
Certainly what I'm seeing it within the Villa team, because it's easy to play safe football, isn't it? And what we're not, that we're certainly not playing safe football.
No.
We've played out from the back against the best teams, with the teams that press you like you wouldn't believe and give you no time on the ball. But he's saying, no, this is the way we're going to play. This is the way we're going to play moving forward for hopefully a long period of time. And you have to buy in for it to work. And the players have done that, haven't they? And you know, the way he's being able to get the players to buy into it is the incredible thing, I think, you know. And the fact that we've seen it is the right way to play, and we've had success doing it, from a player's point of view, that gives you belief that, you know what, we're actually doing the right things here. Let's keep working at it. Let's keep trying to build. Let's keep believing in what the manager wants us to do. And yeah, he's got them playing, and like you said, running through a bit brick wall for him.
Definitely. How confident are you, Chris, of Champions League then? How close do you think we are to it?
I'm confident. I'm really confident. All because of the way that the manager and the players are going about it. You know, can't see any other way out. Of course, you know, it's still going to be a tricky end to the season, and Spurs have got that two-game sort of two-game gap that they need to fill. I think, isn't it, by the time we play again, I think they'll have three on us, won't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they play Sunday, don't they? Yeah.
Big win for us on Saturday would be huge, wouldn't it, I think? Because then it looks like they're miles off us. But and they've obviously got some tough fixtures as well. So I am confident. Obviously, there's that little bit of doubt in the back of your mind that thinks we could still cock it up. but, you know, the players have been amazing. The manager's been amazing. The fans have been amazing. I feel like we deserve it. I really do. But we've got some hard yards still to put in towards the back end of the season, haven't we?
Yeah, it's got to finish the job off now. So Chelsea up next. Tough game. Like, tough because you don't know what you're going to get for a starter. Yeah. I watched them last night against Arsenal and they were absolutely useless. And then we watched them at Villa Park in the FA Cup. And, you know, they played really well against us. So this is going to be a real tough game. Cole Palmer might be coming into it. Justin, I know you are friends with some Chelsea fans as well, so you'll get some good insight later on in the week on them. But how are you feeling, Justin, about Chelsea in this game coming up?
Yeah, I'm confident we can get a result that we need because of the situation we're in. So I think now we're in hyper-focus mode, and I think we know exactly what we've got to do. What, four league games left? You know, especially at home, coming off the back of the week we've had, I think we go into it with real momentum. Chelsea are just a very, very funny side. They're like the Jekyll and Hyde of the Premier League, aren't they? One week you watch them, you think they look absolutely terrible, look relegation candidates, look shambles of a team. No, you know, they're just like, I think the man at Pochettino said after the Arsenal game, he said, we basically gave up. So that's terrible mentality. We just talked about Villa's mentality and where we are. We're at the elite top end of mentality, and they're in the infancy of trying to like garner a team spirit, and they don't seem anywhere near it, especially when they play like they did last night. But But they also have got some very, very good players. And I think this season, especially, Cole Palmer is the key to their whole team. Without him, they're terrible. With him, I think he elevates them up, and they see him now as a massive leader on the pitch, don't they? Look at his stats, look at his numbers, his goals, his assists. You know, I think for me, he's a shoo-in to start for England in the summer. So that is the only caveat I'd throw into it at the moment. I think he'll be back because he was out with an illness, not an injury. So I think they will come with that hurting. I think they will come, you know, with a point to prove. But I think they've still got a soft underbelly that we can definitely expose. So I think as long as we're on it and we are focused and we start well and get probably the first goal, I think we can definitely play into their mentality and hopefully they'll crumble like they did at the Emirates.
Yeah, I think intensity is key from a Villa point of view. I think if we have that intensity and we have that sort of territorial dominance in the game, I can see Villa sort of doing a job on them, because I just don't think Chelsea will be able to live with our level. But Chris, have you watched much of Chelsea this season?
I've seen bits of them, mate. I've seen probably maybe not quite as much of you as you guys have. I've watched them probably more recently, actually. I watched the City semi-final in the FA Cup, which I actually thought they were quite good in, to be honest with you. They could have probably won the game. They've got no one up front to score goals, which is frightening, because you watch, they'll probably bang three past us on Saturday, which would be so frustrating. But yeah, they look good against them. And then last night, I watched the majority of that game last night, and they were shambolic, weren't they? I mean, Arsenal were good, give credit to Arsenal, but, you know, Chelsea allowed them to play. So it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because, you know, whenever you come up against Chelsea, although regardless of where they are in the league, you always probably got that fear that they could show up and produce a top four sort of side performance. So, you know, we're going to have to be at our best and at our top level, which you'd like to think Emery will get the players ready for, having had a little bit more of a breather after the couple of weeks that we've had. It's just been relentless, hasn't it? So I thought that's what probably Chelsea struggled with last night, having played at the weekend. I thought they just looked a bit tired, really. Young lads looked tired. So, it, you know, when you look at what we've had to go through with the games midweek and at the weekend, that's probably one of the most impressive things that we've done as well, is the way Emery's managed the squad, and, you know, still had our fair share of injuries as well, haven't we? But yeah, Chelsea, you just don't know what you're going to get. We've got to be on our A game come the weekend.
I think for Villa fans, we're just loving the fact that they've probably had their feet up for 2 days and they've had a day off and they're relaxing and they've been ice bathing and everything like that, really, because it just feels like they needed a bit of downtime, really. And like you say, you know, we've played in Europe and we've only lost one game coming back in the Premier League once we've played in Europe as well. And that's a big testament to the job that Emery's done in managing the squad. So we'll have a little look now at some of the stats of what's been going on recently. We've had head-to-head record, 57 times we played each other. Villa have got 8 home wins. Chelsea have got 13 away wins this season. We're fourth, they're ninth. We've won 20 games this season, which is crazy. Chelsea have lost 11. Villa are scoring 2.1 per game. Chelsea are scoring 1.9. We are conceding 1.5 and they're conceding 1.8. You can see on the style comparison map that Villa are pretty much the same as Newcastle. We're in that slow and intricate. Chelsea are in that slow and intricate, but they're having more passes per sequence. We can see that Villa style, the blue is where Villa are comfortable, the grey are contested areas, and the red is where the opposition have most of the ball against Aston Villa. And then we can see the same with Chelsea. So they are dominating games with possession. But I think we're going to start to... But I think these stats are quite telling as well, to be fair, that Chelsea, they're actually okay. But, you know, I think, like Chris has mentioned, that striker situation and the lack of leaders and the lack of older heads in that squad, I think, is probably what's telling with the tail of their season. So Villa have got a 44.78 XG and we've scored 50 goals. So we're outperforming our XG. Chelsea are underperforming their XG. They've got 44 and they've scored 40. So that you can see the difference there, that they're creating chances and not scoring as many. The goals against Villa have got a 37.98 and we've conceded 32. So That's better than what our XG says. And then Chelsea's point of view, it's worse. They've got an XG of 32.48 and they've conceded 39. We've got passes per sequence. So we've got 10-plus passes per sequence for Chelsea's at 490. They've got 101 build-up attacks and 76 direct attacks. Villa have got 83 and 83. That seems to have been pretty level for the whole season. So we can either mix it up with build-up or we can mix it up with direct attacks. And then this was the Chelsea passing network for the game against Arsenal. You can see on that left-hand side that that's where it fell short. Justin, how confident are you that Villa are going to get the job done on Saturday?
Do you not know me at all? I'm very, very, very confident we're going to get the job done Saturday. No, I am. I am. Look, I think if anything, I'm glad we are playing a Chelsea, a name club. That's not to disrespect, you know, lower league clubs, but, you know, we saw with the Bournemouth game, you know, you just sort of expect us to beat those teams now, although they are a decent side, Bournemouth. But I think with Chelsea, I think it, because they're coming into town and they've just come off the back of hiding, I think it means that we've got to be massively on our game. And I think that will help the manager focus because he will look down the team sheet. You know, they have got some very good players. I think the midfield is where they're probably at the strongest. Cole Palmer, Enzo Fernandez and Conor Gallagher is probably where they are the strongest in their 11. Yes, they do struggle to score goals. You know, up top, they've been a disaster zone. And they can see goals that they have got a very inexperienced young squad. I heard yesterday somebody saying they need to add 4 or 5 experienced heads in the summer. You know, I mean, they're on a par with Nottingham Forest, aren't they? The amount of players they sign every summer, it's ridiculous. But they just lack leadership. They lack a focus. And they lack probably an identity at the moment. I do actually think if they could add 1 or 2 players in the summer of experience, they have got some really good and they could maybe bring down their squad from about 150 down to a manageable amount. I think that could be a force still. You know, they really could, but it's just a mess there at the moment, and we've got to really, really capitalise on their poor areas of play, and we can definitely do that. You know, we've got the best manager in my opinion that can look at them and say, okay, this is how we beat them, lads, and the players buy into it, and they'll go out and they'll execute as they have done week in, week out this season. So I'm very confident we can beat them, especially on a Saturday night under the lights of Villa Park. Another special atmosphere on the way. I just hope the club do they meet the fans, the team again, the bus.
Yeah, Sam, it was great.
Brilliant. I mean, I obviously saw it from social media, but that just looked brilliant to me. And again, similar, whether it was Emery's idea or not, I don't know where it came from. From within the club, but touch of genius for me. Absolute touch
it's
of genius.
It's clever, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And there's only 3 home games left, so, you know, hopefully they'll do it for all 3 and just get that atmosphere going. And I think that the group in the stands did a good job as well, that little new group that they've stuck in the top of the Doug Ellis, so hopefully that'll just keep growing and growing and growing.
It's 5 margins. It just gives you that added little percentage of, you know, the players see that, they know it's a big game, they get up for it, and that family feel. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great to be in and around it as well. One player that's been amazing for Chelsea this season, like Justin's alluded to him, like Cole Palmer. I think, you know, we've got to talk about him a little bit because he's been absolutely brilliant. He's English, and I think at Man City, you know, we all knew that there was a really good player there and he wanted to go out on loan and Pep said no, so he moved to Chelsea. And, you know, his stats this season, like the form that he's been in, you know, you look at his last 5 games, 8.3 against Newcastle, 10 against Burnley, 10 against United, 10 against Everton, played 28 games, 20 goals, 9 assists, you know, passing accuracy 83%. Dribble success 51%. You know, he's a wonderfully gifted player, I think, because he finds space really well. And I really enjoy watching his movement, his finishing. I like his self-confidence as well. I think sometimes when you look at footballers, there's little things that you like about them. And, you know, even that penalty debacle the other week where, you know, a couple of them wanted it and he was just like, it's mine, like, I'm having it, like, and I really liked that as well. And he's mature and feels like he's carrying that Chelsea team. But Chris, have you seen much of Palmer? Have you been impressed with him?
Yeah, I think you have to be impressed, don't you? He's been very, very good all year, hasn't he? And again, in a team which, you know, haven't performed at their best, he stood out like a sore thumb. So, yeah, fair play to him. It's brilliant seeing English players do that, isn't it? In what we seem to be or deem to be the best league in the world. To see young players come in and take the league by storm like that is just fantastic to see. And like you say, I think it's how easy he makes the game look. You know, he's obviously a young lad with a lot of confidence, and I think some people are kind of mistaking that for a bit of arrogance and cockiness. But as you said, with the penalty, he was like, you know, no one's having this, I'm having it. They're 4-0 up at the time, and you know, I think kind of sums up where Chelsea are, isn't it, really? I don't think you'd be seeing that, you know, at Villa at the minute. And kind of sums up where they're at as a team. But you know, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have been arguing for the penalty if it was the last minute and it was 0-0. I'm pretty sure they'd have backed off it. So, you know, credit to Palmer for obviously, you know, just taking it and in his stride and dealing with the penalty. But he's a world class player, even at the age he is, and you know, look, great signs for England fans. But we'll have to keep him quiet on Saturday, because I think he is the major threat, isn't he? He does link up all their play, and he's the one who can get them goals. So I think it's just his finesse as well. You know, he's got that little bit of magic about him, which is, you know, great to watch. Just hopefully he doesn't bring it on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And something I've noticed, you know, watching Champions League, is the amount of young players now that are really making a claim in big, big teams. So you look at Bellingham, you look at Palmer, you look at Foden, you look at Endrick, you look at Musiala. So going back to when you first started out playing sport, did you feel pressure at a young age, or was it just, I've got my opportunity now?
Yeah, it's amazing, I reckon. As a young player, you don't generally feel it half as much as what you do when you get a little bit older, honestly. It's not until you're probably more established until you really feel that sort of level of expectation. I think as a young player, you just kind of go in with that open mind, free spirit, no baggage, and just go and play your game. Yeah, I think for these boys to be doing it on the biggest stage, obviously, is probably slightly different. But I think they're just built in a way now that youngsters, they don't tend to feel that sort of pressure. And if they do, they've got a great way of hiding it, which is, you know, half the battle at the highest level, is being able to hide that emotion and be, you know, solely focused on the job in hand. So, you know, amazing to see young players just come in and produce the goods, and especially English players. Like you said, I mean, to see what Bellingham's doing in Madrid, and, you know, Palmer's doing in the Premier League. You know, Foden, I know Foden's been around for a while, but his level is on a whole new level as well, which is exciting for the summer, isn't it, with the Euros ahead. But, you know, I think looking at younger players, they tend to just, you know, have this sort of free spirit and not really feel the pressure, which is, you know, a real, you know, great trait to have.
Yeah, it's just good. I love watching young players do well. I think it's, I don't know, that's just like a British and an English thing, that's what we like to see. But yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And even with your own club, like you want to see your own come through. And I think because they are a lot younger sometimes, you just get that different sense of pride, really. So we will be doing the predicted lineup. That'll be out tomorrow. But one question I wanted to ask both of you then is, what do we do with Douglas Luiz? We'll go with Justin first. Does Luiz walk straight back into this team, or does he not?
Why come to me first? giving Chris time to think now. I think if I go my gut says yes, he does come back into it. I think he's just that important to this team. Yes, we've done really, really well without him. You know, two great wins, one unbelievable away at Arsenal, and then one really good at home. But I think what it does is it allows John McGinn to push forward and well, yeah, either of them, I suppose, Tielemans or McGinn, because one of them would have to still sit, wouldn't they? Yeah, I think he does. He's the natural six, isn't he, that's fit now. So I think he comes back in, then you decide who you want to play next to him. And I think probably, although I really, really, really loved Emery throwing in all the attacking players against Bournemouth, I think we've probably got to be a little bit more cautious against Chelsea. So that would mean that probably Diaby or Watkins would drop out, and then that allows Luis to come in, and then McGinn probably, or it doesn't matter out of the two, he wants to push forward into the 8-10 role more. So I think so, yeah. I think he does come back in.
What do you think, Chris?
I think he has to, mate. I don't. I mean, he's, when the way I look at it is, obviously we've had a great week. We've played really well, but I think you look at when we lost him for a couple of games, the immediate reaction is, bloody hell, are we going to go without Douglas Luiz for a couple of games? And yeah. I think if you think of that, I think he has to walk straight back in, doesn't he? I mean, he's been brilliant for us all year. He's a world-class midfielder, and I think you can't leave a guy like that on the bench. He should be fresh. He'll have had a couple of, you know, a week so-called off in terms of, I'm sure he's still been training his nuts off, but you know, in terms of game time, it'll be good for him to have had a bit of a breather after what's been a busy year, and he should be hopefully, you know, good for a good push towards the end of the season now. He has to come back in. I think, as Justin said, I think against Chelsea, we put, and we just saw with your stats that they are pretty good with the ball. We might need to be a little bit better in, you know, without the ball. And I think, you know, unfortunately, if I had to pick one, I think Diaby would probably have to sit out. I think Bailey's been fantastic, hasn't he? I think we just look such a better team with him on the pitch. So I think that will be the way Emery goes, and or certainly the way I'd go. But what do I know?
No, I think also we saw in the Europa League game when we got to penalties, he was the captain at that point, wasn't he? Because he took the toss. Yeah. So I think he's got that leadership role within the squad as well, and they look to him. So it's you know, yeah, I think we all know he comes back in. Do you think
I think, you know, when I watch Luiz on the pitch and he makes a mistake, Emery's like on him. He's like, I expect better from you. Like, Emery's built this team around Douglas Luiz, and he's straight back in there. And we think about different rotations. I think you're both right about Diaby. I think we won't go as attacking against Chelsea, I don't think, because we'll know that, you know, we've got to control the game. So I think we all agree on that. You're doing all right in this podcast business, Chris, anyway.
Don't set up a Villa one.
Just winging it.
Right, so we'll finish. Go on then.
Just jump. How about Rodgers, by the way? He was fantastic at the weekend against Bournemouth. Really changed the game for us. It was brilliant. Thought he had a great game. I think, you know, for a young lad, again, talking about young players coming in and just showing what they're capable of. Again, just no fear of failure. Just carries the ball, drives forward. Looks really good. Has looked like he's getting better and better each time he plays, which is a really good sign.
Yeah, to me, he looks like he's built differently. Like he's coming with that bit of belief and swagger with him from like City, and you know, his upbringing through City Academy and coming through playing for Middlesbrough as well. So I think he's just getting better and better, and I think Emery's just gonna be able to just really work with him and fine tune him and turn him in. I think he's going to turn him into a star, to be honest, because that's just what Emery does.
Yeah. I watched the pitch cam when they put the clips of all the goals and everything. And if you watch, I think it's low level, the goal he scored when he picks. So he picks him up from when he started the run, then he receives the ball, then he cuts inside. But when you see him finish, and then he goes off celebrating. He doesn't go off celebrating like, wow, look what, I can't believe I've just done that. He goes off celebrating, calm as you like, yeah, that's what I do. He just cut inside, buried it, and then ran off going, yeah, that's just me. That's that. You know, that just shows the quality of the lad. He knew exactly what he was going to do in that moment. And I think the run in the side and the confidence he's now been given to produce, we've seen a bit of a monster starting to grow, I think.
Oh, I think so. Right, score predictions then. Chris, what are you going with?
I'm going to go with... I still think we're going to beat him. I still think we're going to beat him. I'm going to go with 2-1 Villa. 2-1 Villa. I was close to saying that I can't see Chelsea scoring, but that's a bit aggressive. So let's go 2-1 Villa.
I'm also going 2-1. I'm going with the same scoreline. Justin, Chris, Justin normally goes a bit bigger than what everybody else picks. So let's see what he's going with.
I was just going to say, if we didn't predict a Villa win, we're not asking him on again, so he's all right. 2-0, I did have 2-0 in my head. I think we can. Cole Palmer's the big one. I think he's the threat. But yeah, I'm confident we can win.
Absolutely love it. Cheers, Chris, for coming on. And cheers, everyone, for watching. So comment, subscribe, like away. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.